This evening we come to the Psalm number 34, and we're singing in this Psalm, verses 1 to 9. We sing to God's praise and glory. Psalm 34, verses 1 to 9. Let us join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again in our psalm we have been reminded of the grandeur of God's mercy. We have been reminded by the psalmist of how he would determine to praise the Lord and to magnify that great and holy name. We are conscious, O God, of the need more and more to have an appetite and to taste for ourselves and to see that God is good and that in Him there is mercy beyond deserving and beyond all comparison. And as we gather here once again, O God, we are reminded that in this gathering, this public gathering still allowed to us in these days when there is so much restriction upon churches and other gatherings, that we are conscious, O God, that these places and times still available to us are tokens of mercy and of grace. And so we rejoice in every good and perfect gift, in every opportunity to gather around the Word, and in every opportunity to refresh our memories and indeed our Christian resolutions in order to live more and more unto Jesus Christ, to be informed, better instructed, that we might know Him and know Him better and increasingly to know Him as the Apostle Paul desired, that I might know Him, pressing forward, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before, pressing forward for the high calling, the mark of that high calling of God in Christ Jesus, to apprehend that thing for which Christ had apprehended Him. And as we gather here, O Lord, yet again, we are conscious of the way in which so many gather once a week with us and no more. And we are conscious that some this evening are in, laid aside in sickness, some in lawful duties, and others perhaps through the coldness of the weather or the factors of distance. And so we remember them, as we know that some remember us. And so, Heavenly Father, as we gather here now, help us to remember that there are churches which are still closed, that there are churches which are closed perhaps terminally and finally, and that there are churches which were open and then closed again and closed now. And throughout the world, we find that there is a sense of disheartenment among so many in the Christian community, and a sense of boldness and confidence in the hearts of others. And so we pray that we would look into the Scriptures, look into history, look into the strange events through which we are passing in these days, and be very conscious of the need to act wisely, but also scripturally. And sometimes we hardly know what is the right thing to do. And so we pray for those who are not with us, and we pray that you would bless those of us who gather here yet again. We remember all the congregations in the denomination to which we belong. We remember all the ministries of the gospel, and all the members, the adherents, the visitors, the casual ones, the consecrated ones. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for better days. We long for better days. We long for better preaching. We long for better hearing. We long for better praying. We long for better believing and better repenting. And we long for days of increasing optimistic hope to characterize the community to which we belong. Heavenly Father, we remember our governments, the various state parliaments and governments, the premiers and the prime minister of the nation. In these days when there is contradiction, borders closed, one state almost rising up against another state, where there is disunity, division, of a dangerous kind. And Heavenly Father, we long for the days when this land of Australia will be a God-fearing and a God-loving land, and our desire for a return to normality and liberties would not simply be a matter of getting back to the pubs and the clubs and the footy and the beaches, but a return to the churches. And, O Lord, we pray that men and women would be seeking as their great priority in these days the uncertainty of life and the brevity of it, that they would be seeking to hear the word of the Lord. Where can we go to hear a word from heaven? Like the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? O God, how we would long to hear such questions, the important questions, and the one true answer from the Scriptures and the Gospel. So help us now to worship in this evening hour, O Lord, and grant that this hallowed day and this sacred hour would be to us a time of privilege, blessing, enjoyment, and gratitude, a time of devotion. This is our prayer as we seek mercy and grace once again, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to read in the book of Genesis and in chapter 19. In the book of Genesis in chapter 19, and this, of course, is the story of the destruction of the cities of the plain, Sodom, particularly, as mentioned. and chapter 19 in Genesis. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gates of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "No, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "O, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And then follows the unseemly story of Lot and his daughters, and it's not really germane to our topic this evening, so we'll leave it at that. The story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we remind you of the notices, our Wednesday meeting, of course, as usual on Wednesday at 7 o'clock, next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m., and always we are glad to welcome any visitors with us, and the offering now will be received. Let us sing further to God's praise and glory in Psalm number 34 and verses 10 to 17. We sing these verses 10 to 17.